First, I want to thank God for a small congregation because I don't know how Pastor Bill does it. It's like I was just up here a few minutes ago. But I want to tell you that it's always a pleasure and an honor to come and worship with our family here at Mountain View. But I also want you to realize, too, that you have family at Trinity Christian Fellowship. And we miss you, too. So many people come to me and say, yeah, I haven't seen you for a while. And I said, yeah, you haven't been to Trinity. But it's okay. But today I'm going to bring a message from Acts 1, 6 through 8, which I believe is the foundation for Trinity's existence. But before I bring this message, I want to read an article about a small church that is sweeping across the world with the gospel message. In 1965, Pastor Chuck Smith started his ministry at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, beginning with a mere 25 people. He saw God's blessing. He saw God bless his simple yet consistent style of teaching straight through the Bible. Today, Calvary Chapel draws over 10,000 attendees weekly. With a genuine heart for the lost, Pastor Chuck made room in his ministry for a generation of hippies, surfers, and drug addicts. This generated a stirring of the Holy Spirit, which spread from the California coast to the Atlantic and beyond. This movement was instrumental in bringing thousands of young people to Christ during the 60s and 70s, and which was known as the Jesus People Movement. Well, I assure you that my goal is not to have a congregation of 10,000 people, or to spread little Trinities from this coast to the next. My goal is to serve and follow Jesus Christ to the best of my ability while bringing as many people as I can to Christ, along with the body of Trinity. So if you want to see how God is using this little church in Chehalis to usher in his kingdom, then you really want to listen to this message today. Because we are all one church when we are under the kingdom authority of God. That's Mountain View, Trinity, and any other church that believes that Jesus is Lord. We're one church, one body. So let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord and Savior, I come to you today, Lord, and I just ask now that you just empty me of myself, Lord, and fill me with your Spirit. I ask now, Lord, that you prepare the hearts and the minds and the souls of those who have come to listen to this message. And Lord, I ask that you grant us your Spirit to lead us as we walk under your authorities. And I ask this in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're starting Acts 1, verse 6. And this particular passage is right before Jesus ascended into his throne in heaven. He was talking to his disciples. And he answered a very important question. So let's follow this now. And 6 starts. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or season that the Father has fixed. Let me start it again. It is not for you to know the time or season that the Father has fixed by his authority. And I want to stop there for a second. Followers of Christ are not to worry about tomorrow because we are under the kingdom authority of God. So we are to live as if we're not of this world. Understand what I mean. Jesus was talking to his disciples and he was telling them that it's not for you to worry about when I'm going to come and restore Israel, when I'm going to come and be the king of Israel. Because the kingdom is now. See, this explains what a lot of people have a problem understanding, the now, but not yet. The kingdom of God is here now, but it has not yet come to the fullest. So this is what Christ is trying to explain to his disciples, because they so much want to see Israel restored back to the power and the glories of the days of David and Solomon, when God truly walked with them. But the truth is, God never left us. He's walking with us today. So we are not living. We're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of Christ. Jesus says in John, he says, he prays to the Father, and he asks him to protect us. And he says, keep them from the evil one. And then he says, I'm not asking you, Father, to remove them from this world. But they are not of this world. Understand, if Jesus says himself that we are not of this world as he is not of this world, then we have to be from somewhere. We have to be part of some kingdom. If you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you need to say amen, because you are under the kingdom authority of God. See, you're not under the authority of man. You're under the kingdom authority of God. So we should live as if we're under his authority. But for many, authority can be a major hurdle. Trust me, I know, I have 3 daughters. Sorry about that. But you know what, though? It's true. Many of us, we can't understand authority. Or we can understand it, but sometimes we have a problem with it. And like the disciples, we find ourselves asking, will you, Lord? When we should be asking, what, Lord? What is your will, Lord? See, we can't demand anything from one who has authority over us. And that is because I believe that sometimes we as believers try too hard to usher in the kingdom of God the way we want it, the way we want the kingdom of God to be, when we really need to just stop and call upon Christ and follow him, and he will reveal how he wants his kingdom to be. So when we finally stop building up our own kingdom and ask the question, what is your will, Lord? I believe, matter of fact, I know that God will reveal it to you. I know he will reveal it to you. For our purpose is to usher in the glory of God by following and living out the commandments of Jesus Christ. You see, we all know that we love God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our strength. And we love others as ourselves. But what I think we lack sometimes is faith. The faith that his authority reigns supreme. The faith that under God, nothing can happen that he doesn't know about, that he's not in control of. Sometimes that can be a crush. Because when things go dimly strange, people complain. Well, where's your God now? They did it all throughout Scripture. But understand this, saints, God is here. And as long as you believe in Christ, he's in you. The Spirit of God lives, and he's in you. But only when you realize that you're under the kingdom authority of God and that Christ reigns supreme in your life. You know, when we start truly believing that when we believe that God is in control, then things start happening. Amazing things start happening. almost four years ago, Josh, Dave, and myself, we had the opportunity to go minister to some of the body of Chehalis Valley to build a church. You see, right before then, I was in doubt. I was in convergence, and I was struggling. And I hadn't been in there maybe 6 months. But God had to break me down to use me. He had to tear me apart and rip me up before he could use me. He had to just free me from this selfishness, this pride that I had, to realize that he reigned supreme before he could use me. But then, within these three years, amazing things have started happening at Trinity. And God is in full control. You see, now we have a visitation program. It's not a I don't want to say program. That's why I'm kind of hesitant, because I don't like that word program. But we have a visitation set up where we go and we visit people who come to Trinity, and we talk to them and we love them. And you know, I know for most of you guys, it's probably frightening to think that I'm going to go in someone's home and talk to them. But let me tell you, for Bill, Jenny, Walt, Juanita, Bev, and myself, this has been a true blessing. And for the people that we have visited, and guess what? I'm encouraging all of the people at Trinity to partake in this and start seeing how God can use us as a body. And then on Wednesday nights, we gather. And every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we have dinner together. And then we do a Bible study. Just know that God is working there. And through these Bible studies, amazing things have came out. And then on Thursday night, we have a men's group. And the majority of these men are from the care center, where we try to work. And, you know, it's a hard work, because you're dealing with some people who have never been exposed to the gospel of Christ. You're dealing with some people who have a difficult time understanding that we are under the kingdom authority of God and not under what you see on MTV. It's a difficult ministry, but we're doing it. And we also provide food for anyone who needs it. And for some of our elder people, we believe in loving with the kindness and the grace that God has shown us. And added with our men's breakfast and the women's Bible study, and of course our monthly potluck, you can see that this church is well fed, both food and the word of God. But you can truly see that God is at work in this church. But the most amazing thing that has happened at Trinity, I believe, is we have totally stopped counting numbers. We don't worry about who comes and who doesn't come anymore. All we do is love people. Because here's the truth. Our ministry is outside of the Church of Trinity. There are so many people that we're praying for, so many people that we deal with that are having issues. And this tape is stuck on my finger. God is working there. But understand this. Until you truly submit to the authority of God, you cannot possibly begin to understand the power that has been given you as a believer. Yet, this submission doesn't imprison you. Rather, it sets you free. You see, for the first time as a pastor, and not just today, but in a while, I don't feel obligated to perform. I don't feel under pressure. You know, I'm not worried about what anyone says about me. You see, I am not subject to scrutiny of anyone. For what I do is for God, and only God can judge me. And it is the same for each of you. When you are empowered with the power of Christ, The work that you do is between you and God. No one can judge your work, because the work that God has put for you is for you and to be judged by him. We're not to be judged by man. So know the empowerment of Christ, the empowerment of God is great. And as you can see, by the work that we're doing at Trinity, Trinity has been empowered by God to do his will as one unified body, as one group. The only problem is the work is plenty, but the workers are few. As a matter of fact, there are so few that under the guidance of Bill Dries, my 16-year-old daughter, Shayna, and my 13-year-old daughter, Kennedy, along with Celeste, if she's here, they lead our music. And you know what? They do a great job. It's a blessing from God. And we're not complaining about it, but there's work to be done. All Christians have been empowered by God to do his will, and we must share in that responsibilities. Now understand, I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm telling you the fact. The fact is we have been equipped to represent God. We've been equipped to do his work. There's absolutely nothing that we can't do in the name of God as long as God ordained it. So don't go out and start doing anything crazy and say that Pastor Allen told me I could. No, if God ordains it. You see, we have been given everything that we need to follow Christ and live a godly life. If you want to turn to 2 Peter, I'm going to be reading out of 2 Peter 1. I'm going to be reading 3 through 10. I'll give you a minute to get there. And it reads, his divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who calls us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promise, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in this world because of sinful desires. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities are so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all that more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. Understand, it has been done. If you are in Christ, you have the power. Whatever we do in the name of Christ, for Christ, will be done. So in Christ, if we cannot fail, then doing nothing is not an option. We have to move forward in the gospel. We don't get to sit back and watch others work. See, we've gotten into this mentality today where that everything has been pushed up front to the pastors and to the staff. Oh, it's the pastor's responsibility to share the gospel. It's the pastor's responsibility. No, you all have been empowered. Use it. It is the pastor's responsibility to equip the saints for the working of the gospel. That is the pastor's responsibility. All believers are called to be witnesses for Christ. Every single one of us. But being a witness for Christ is not just sharing the gospel, but it's how we live. See, understand this. You say more about what you believe in by the way you act than what you say. That's where the word hypocrite comes from. I believe in God while I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing. It's your actions. Your actions speak louder than words. So before you can start sharing the gospel, you must pick up these virtues and you must pick up the knowledge of God. You must do the things that, I don't say you must do these things, but you must turn to God and let God work in you and let Him do these things in you. But you can't just take the gospel and shove it in people's face. I'm not telling you to run out there getting you all fired up and you're going to be in Arby's over there saying, turn and burn, turn and burn. It doesn't work that way. You have to spend time with the Word of God. You have to let the Spirit lead you. But you can't quench the Spirit. You have to be ready to be a witness for Christ. Acts 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When you were possessed with the Holy Spirit, you were already ordained. You were already called. You have already been elected to be witnesses for Christ. Now, within the last 4 months, I've had the opportunity to witness or share the gospel to over 40 people, maybe more. And I'm not saying this to brag or anything like this. Understand this, the majority of the people that I witness to, they're there. For those of you who don't know, I work at Fort Lewis. And every day you have people coming in. I work at the computer center, coming in, doing their computer, so they're stuck. They're there for 2-3 hours. So they get the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Most of them encourage it. Most of them, they love it. And you know, after you talk to them and you listen and you hear what they have to say about Christianity, what they have to say about the gospel, then you understand where man's heart really is. You see, half of these people, they say they know Christ, but they really don't have a clue. But you know what? I don't give up on them. I just pray for them. I listen to them. But one thing that I have learned since I've been there and the other half is that the church has a bad reputation. We're called hypocrites. We don't care. Self-righteous. These are the things that are being said about the church. But then I'll sit there and I'll share the gospel with them. And I don't tell them. You know, I just share the gospel. I don't tell them that I'm a pastor or anything. And then they keep talking, and then the next thing comes out, they start talking about pastors. And that's when my ears perk up. You know, they say, you know, there are some pastors who just don't care. They don't listen to me. They don't teach the true word of God. I've learned more from you than I've learned from the church the whole time I was in church. And then I keep sharing with them grace. Grace, grace. Jesus says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Grace, I share with them. And then you know what they're like? Then I tell them I'm a pastor. And you know what they say? You know what? I'll come to your church. And they commit, yeah, I'll come. And it's all good until they find out it's in Chehalis. You know? But if I could do that kind of work down here, which I will, God will allow me to, if it's his will, I can see Trinity growing because of the Word of God, because of the love of Christ. But you know, the things that we really must understand is that people are going to use any excuse or say anything they can to keep from coming to church. When they talk about, well, the pastor is this or the people this, whatever, the majority of it I can tell was just an excuse. But there was some of it that could have been true. So we as believers have to be great witnesses. Walt and myself, we were out one day, and we talked to a prominent business owner. You know, and I was talking to him about going to church, and he says, well, I don't go to church, and my people don't go to church. I said, well, why not? He says, I have a group of men who are doing some work for a pastor one time, and this guy was just plain mean. And he told me, he says, and they told me that if there was any chance of them ever going to church, this pastor just ruined it for them. Now, I'm not sure how true that was. And no, Pastor Bill, you weren't that pastor they were talking about. But I'm not sure how true this was. But I know one thing. We as Christians have to be better witnesses. We as Christians have to get into the Word of God and handle the Word properly, whereby we can take it to the world. Because there are people out there willing to listen if you're willing to go. There are a lot of people out there. And understand this. Trinity Christian Fellowship on the Hill. It's a small church. Small church, but we're starting to make a big footprint. And it's not because of us. It's because of the empowerment of the Lord. But in closing, I would like to invite each of you out to visit Trinity to see what God is doing for yourself. But keep in mind, we're not a church that's trying to entertain with programs or trying to attract people just to fill the seats. We are a church with a body of believers that want to obey and follow Jesus Christ. We are trying to be a church of obedience. And we want to witness to our Jerusalem, which is in Chehalis. And when God is ready for us, he'll take us to Judea and then Samaria and then to the end of the world. But we're not going to get ahead of God. So I invite you out there to be a part of this ministry if you want. Now understand, some of you are probably saying, how bold is it for you to come into another pastor's church and invite someone in to help us do work? I got permission from Pastor Bill just to invite you guys to come out and visit if you want. Or if there is something that you want to do, come and do it. But understand this, you have been empowered to do the will of God. Let us close. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Son. God, we thank you that we have the power to witness to the world. Lord, we thank you that we get blessed every time someone persecutes us for your name's sake. Lord, we thank you for this. So, Lord, I ask now that as we leave here today, Lord, that you allow your Spirit just to guide us and lead us in your righteousness and to allow us, Lord, to be witnesses to a world that desperately needs it. And I ask this in the mighty, mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.